song, good singing tonight. And if you've got your Bibles, why don't you turn over with me to the book of Hebrews. And we're going to be in Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12 here tonight. All right. And got to look here at a thought here tonight. you know, you got a choice with everything that comes your way, especially when it does not go your way. You can either get bitter or you can get better. And I want to kind of look at that thought here out of the book of Hebrews in chapter 12 and start here in verse number 14. And look at number 15 as well. Why don't you, if you're able to, just stand with me for the reading of God's Word. And we're going to read here in Hebrews chapter 12. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 14, it says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." You can be seated. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this time. We can look at these truths in the scripture. And God, I pray you'll help us to rightly divide them tonight. And Lord, I pray that you'll burn these truths in our heart and help us to profit from these truths. We know that all scripture is profitable. Lord, will you change us in this important area of capitalizing upon the grace of God and becoming better and not bitter when we go through the walk of life. All these things we'll pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I love this passage. It says, you know, following peace with all men. And, you know, it's just hard to do that. There's some people that are hard to follow with peacefully, aren't there? It really is. It's just a real challenge. But the Bible tells us to follow peace with all men and holiness. And so we're to be separate. We're to be different. You know, as children of God, as born again, Christ is living in you, in your life, and you're always to have that manifested in your life. And that's easy for me to talk about up here on a Sunday night, standing up here behind a sacred guest, but it's not easy on a Monday morning about 10 o'clock at work. It's not easy, you know, when things are, maybe tensions are up at home or what, or if maybe at work or with family or friends or whatever, maybe while you're out shopping. But to be holy, to be separate, to be set apart unto God. But the Bible says, without which no man shall see the Lord. And we definitely, I want to see God. I want to see the Lord working in my life. I want to see the Lord working in our church. And the only way that the Lord works in this church is that the Lord works in your lives. And the Lord's working in your life, and I'm so thankful that we've had just seasons of that, where man, God's working. He's working not just in my heart, but He's working in your heart. And I mean, I can see it. And when that happens, it's just there's just a buzz about this place, and people come in here and they recognize it and they know it, and it's a special thing, and it's a wonderful thing. But that's the God. That is the Lord. That's the Lord at work. That's not something that you can manifest. That's not something you can work up. We can't just create that. That's something God does, and we're very thankful for it. But we want to see the Lord. Most people hear about the Lord their whole life, but few people see the Lord. And that's what Job said. It culminated at the end of Job. He says, "I have heard thee of the hearing of mine ear, but now mine eye seeth thee." You know, he came through it in his life, and he came face to face with God, and he got to know his Lord. He got to know his God, and he said, "Now mine eye seeth thee." And when you see the Lord, you'll be as like Isaiah. He saw the Lord. He was high and lifted up, and he fell upon his face. He said, "Woe is me! I am a nun. I am a man of unclean lips." And when we see God in our life, we realize how just unholy we are, and how wicked we are, and how low we are, and that there's nothing good in us. Yet Christ that liveth in us. And that'll change the way you live. That'll change the way that you interact with people. That'll change the way that you are in a relationship, in your marriage, as a parent, as a child, as a teenager, with people at work. That'll change everything about you. And we want to see God. We want to see God. But the thing is to do this, You're going to go through, again, Monday's coming, all right? Monday's coming. And the devil knows Monday's coming. And he's grinning and he can't wait. And he's got all these things planned for you. And it's going to happen. People are going to do you wrong. People are going to do you wrong. They're going to not treat you well. And so that's why the verse here says, looking diligently. Looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up to trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So again, the message tonight is how do we go from bitter to better? And you know, if I can be creative with the English language and just change the word a little bit, maybe bitterness to betterness. That's not really words, but bitterness to betterness. And we got a couple trees up here. I just want to illustrate this truth here. And again, you know, things are going to happen in your life, and it's hard, and it's not going to be right, and it's not going to be fair. It's not. People are going to do things to you that maybe you were nice to them, and they did not return the niceness to you, and something comes in your life that totally you did not deserve. You did not sign up for this, and it violates our justice system. All right. And when our justice system is violated, you know, the real question is this: what are you going to do when that happens? How are you going to handle that? And so in verse number 15, the Bible says, look diligently, look diligently to yourself, look diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God. When hard things, you know, when they happen in your life, and we just think that, you know, when something happens as a Christian, God's just going to take care of it all immediately, and God is just going to step in, and he's going to function like a genie in a bottle or something like that. And my son was watching this show, I think it's Aladdin or something. I'm like, what kind of show is that? He's talking about a genie or something. Then we had a great conversation on the way to church this morning. He was asking me if that's real and all, you know, it's kind of going through what that, you know. I asked him, I was like, what if you had to have three wishes, what would you wish for? And I can't remember. I think one of them was a motorcycle. One of them, you know, high expectations in life. But you know, we treat God like that, and we think wrongly about God. We do. Our theology is not correct on that. We think in our life, we say, well, I go to church and I try to do what's right. I read my Bible this morning, and God is just going to take care of everything in my life. My life is going to be hunky-dory, and I'm going to be hashtag blessed because I did all these things. That's not the right way to look at it, and that is not biblical. That is not the example we see of the apostles. That is not the example we see of Christ. And so that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches this. It teaches you that when you are done wrong, the Bible teaches that when you get mistreated, when you get violated, the Bible teaches us that with Christ, he gives us grace. He gives us grace. And we have Christ living in us. And Christ, he is a God of love. He is a God of grace. He is a God of mercy. He is. And he gives us this grace. And we have over here, this is our tree of grace. And it's a beautiful tree. And it's got some beautiful branches down here. And some beautiful flowers on it. And I kind of made it up on the fly, if you can tell. But just picture it. Just, you know, you picture it, whatever. We were at this, we were down in Dominican last week, and I don't know what kind of tree that was, but that was the prettiest tree. And it just came out, and it just flowered out everywhere, and it was just a beautiful, beautiful tree. And maybe you can picture that tree tonight. But when we are done wrong, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit will plant a tree of grace in your heart. He'll plant this tree of grace in your life. And you know, when you go through a very difficult time in your life, when you go through something that you do not understand, you know, the Holy Spirit, if you'll yield to him, he'll lead you to this tree of grace, and he'll say, hey, come on over here and get some of this, and just take some of this, just waft some of this aroma from the tree of grace, and come over here and rest in the tree of grace, and just rest in the beauty of the tree of grace, and that's going to help get you through. And it says, looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God. God tells you, he says, I'm not going to take away all the hardships in your life. I'm not going to take away every jerk that you have to deal with at work, but I will give you a tree of grace. Amen.
And that's your choice every single day. You can come over when you're going through that difficult time in your life, in that difficult time where you make disappointments or whatever, and you can come to the tree of grace, and you can, the Holy Spirit will yield you to that. And out of this tree of grace produces, there's the fruit of the spirits that comes out of that tree, and it manifests itself, and it's a wonderful thing. And God says, I'll give you that grace. And don't fail in your life to come over to this tree. Don't fail in your life to miss out on the tree of grace and the fruits of the tree of grace. And when you go to work tomorrow and you have to deal with Mr. Jerk, and you know, you just say, I hear you, I heard you last week too, but I'm just going to go over the tree of grace right now. Okay? Because everybody at work, they know that I'm a Christian, and everybody's watching me, and they're going to see how I'm going to react to this jerk. And you go over here to the tree of grace. And God will sustain you. He will sustain you. But it takes some effort on your part, okay? Looking diligently. And you can't stop looking diligently for the grace of God in your life. You must live by grace. It is by grace you are saved. It is by grace that you will live the Christian life. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. So walk in Him. Walk in the tree of grace. And every single day, every single moment, you have to be looking diligently. Don't stop looking diligently, and someone will get done wrong. And maybe they won't take of the grace tree. They won't come over here. And the Bible says here they'll fail the grace of God. And that's a sad thing. And I'll be honest with you, I've done that many times in my life. Many times. I'm ashamed to say it. But when we are not looking diligently, we'll fail the grace of God. We don't go to the grace tree. And the Holy Spirit's over here. He's like, man, I know you're going through a hard time right now. But that's the Holy Spirit. He will. If you'll let the Holy Spirit, when you're going through that difficult time, the Holy Spirit's got that shovel out. He's working that dirt. And God, man, he always works through the times of brokenness in our life and times of difficulty. And those are the times where he's breaking us down. He's molding us into something beautiful. But we can only get to that place when we partake of that grace of God and we come in that tree of grace. But sometimes we'll get done wrong and things will happen in our life. And while the Holy Spirit's planting that grace tree over here, there's an enemy. There's an enemy, and he's planting this tree. Bitterness over here. And it's an ugly tree. It's an ugly tree. There's nothing pretty about it. There's nothing beautiful about it. It's a horrible tree. There's nothing good that comes from that tree. But you know what? Our flesh is drawn to that tree. Our flesh is just drawn to go over there. And our flesh, you know, they say, you know, you said what? What was that? You said that to moi? Oh, yeah, it's on now. Oh, they said that to me? Do they know who I am? Okay. And then we get over here to the I don't get mad, I get even tree. And they think they can get away with that. Oh, they got another thing. And the flesh wants us to go to this tree. Yeah. All right. And that's God wants you to go over here to this grace tree, but then there's this tree of bitterness, and the problem is when you get over to that tree and you get around this tree, man, this tree, it starts rubbing off on your life. It starts rubbing off on your countenance. You start to smell like that tree. Your attitude starts to look like that tree. It's just ugly and it stinks. And it changes everything about you, and it hinders your testimony for the cause of Christ. And it's hard because, you know what, honestly, when you get over to this tree, man, the flesh kind of feels kind of good, you know. It's like, oh, man. You know, this tree, man, it's got a little zinger, and that's the perfect one I can throw back at that person, and that felt good. And this one over here, this tree, here's a grudge. I'll just hang on to that one. And I'll just put that grudge in my pocket. I'll carry that around for a while. And I like that. And that's what this tree will lead you to do. And you develop the spirit of unforgiveness and the spirit of bitterness. And you're gonna start when you get over here and you start thinking about that person, not only what they did to you, then you start remembering every single thing they ever done.
So instead of forgiving and forgetting, man, you start bringing up things in the past and say, oh, man, now, not only did they do that, but now I'm remembering 10 years ago when they did this and they violated me then, they violated me now. And you start getting all this ammunition, and it completely changes your entire spirit. And, you know, when you see that person that did you wrong, you know exactly which tree that you have been taking from. You know, you cannot follow peace with all men if you've been hanging out next to the tree of bitterness. You cannot. You see that person, and you don't have a burden for that person. You don't have a burden to just, man, I know that person needs the Lord. He's the work of God in their life. You could care less, you know. You don't have a desire for that person when you're hanging out next to this tree. But when you're on this tree, you really start to, you start, even though people are hateful, you start to see people like Christ sees people. And Christ, when he saw people that were reviling him and just being horrible to him, he could just say from the cross, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. And he died for them. And he gave himself for them in the moment. God commended his love. While we were yet sinners, Christ died. Christ knows everything horrible that Daniel Jones has ever done, never going to do, and he still loved me and gave himself for me. He died for me. And that's the type of spirit that we develop when we get over to this tree. And we grow in the grace of God, and we yield to the Holy Spirit of God, and we develop the fruit of the Spirit of God. But we must look diligently. If we don't, we will fail the grace of God. And then we get over here next to this one. And the Bible says in verse number 15, it says, lest any man fail the grace of God, and lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. And it troubles you. It troubles every part of your life. It'll trouble you. It'll trouble you. And not only that, it says, and thereby many are defiled. So saying, hey, looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God. And many be defiled. You have that root of bitterness, and you know what bitterness is. Bitterness when you get angry at somebody, and you have that bitterness, and you have that bitter spirit towards somebody. That bitterness it is. This is not my illustration, but I think it's the best I've ever heard about bitterness. But it is drinking. It's taking a cup of poison. Okay, it's poison, and drinking it yourself, but then thinking that the other person's going to get sick. And it doesn't work like that, does it? If I drink a cup of poison, who's going to get sick? I am. All right? It's going to hurt me. And that's what bitterness does. And so what do we need to do with the root of bitterness? And you know, when you you know, you want to get rid of that root of bitterness. You want to cut it down. You want to get this tree out of your life. Who's most affected by this? You are. I am. But it doesn't stop there, okay? It carries on. So, you know, if somebody at work does me wrong, and I fail the grace of God, and I come over here and I want to get mad about it, and I want to get bitter about it, and I want to hold a grudge about it, and I want to, man, I'm just going to peel to the flesh. And really, what is it? If you know, to come to this tree to get the grace of God, what does it take? Takes humility. I got to humble myself. It's not really about me anyway. It doesn't matter if I'm important. I mean, you know, there's nothing good in me anyway. The only thing good in me is Christ. It doesn't matter really what people think, you know. I want to come over here. But over here, my pride's hurt. Over here is, man, I'm somebody. I'm important. And this our pride will lead us to this tree. And so I get mad, then I'm angry, and then so Jess, come on up here, Jess. So Jess, man, she comes home and she's talking to me. Says, you know, how you doing? You know, and I said, well, you know, I'm doing great, I guess. But can you believe what so and so said to me at work? And of course, Jess says, yeah, well, tell me, talk to me about it. You know, tell me about your day. And I say, you know, this person, they just did this, and I couldn't believe they said that. You know, they did me wrong. Can't believe that. And then what does she say? Jess is a stand-by-your-man type of woman. She is. She's got my back. She does. Okay? You don't want to see me mad, but you don't want to see her mad. Okay? And you know, and I think we got several like that out here, you know? And so J- Jess is like, yeah, they got no right. They got no right. And so not only then, that person who's never really even said anything to her, you know, when I see them, how do I feel towards that person? Well, when she sees them, how does she feel towards that person? Right? Now she's been defiled. Okay? And that's how Caleb, come on up here. So Caleb's just, I mean, he's playing Legos. But he overhears our conversation. And, man, he's going to stick up for his dad, you know? If somebody does his dad wrong, the kid's not going to take kindly to that. They're going to stick up for their dad. They may not say it, but then he's mad at that person. And he develops that. And that'll affect every part, every aspect, you guys. You can sit down. So many are defiled. And so when we get done wrong, we need to humble ourselves and go to the tree of grace. All right? We need to stop. We need to listen, okay? And we need to think about what happened to us at the tree of grace. And we need to forgive people as Christ forgave us. Because none of us deserve the forgiveness of Christ. And Christ, he didn't just forgive us of that one thing that person just did to us, but he forgave us of all. Okay? And if you think, if you put it on a debt scale, I mean, it's like, you know, we did the bucket thing. I mean, yeah, ours is going to win every time. We've got all of our sin combined. And so bitterness, you know, it will get in. If you go over here, it's going to get in your hearts. It's going to make you sour, going to make you a cynical. It's going to make you a negative person. You ever been around somebody that's negative, just negative all the time? I mean, you know, you just say, man, I tell you what, I can't wait for this. And say, well, it's probably not going to work very good. it's probably, I can't wait for the game to start. It's probably going to rain. I mean, nobody wants to be around somebody that's always negative. But that's what will happen to your spirit. If you don't handle that right, you'll become a very cynical person. You'll all you see is the bad in everybody. And you just be very, very careful. And when that happens, you get hurt and the people closest to you get hurt. And it is not worth it. And so when that tree of bitterness springs up, you know, we've got to get rid of it. We got to forgive like God forgave us, and you want to get rid of it, you know, and you want to try to say, I'm gonna get rid of this tree and I'm gonna take it out of here and I'm gonna throw it away. But you know, look, how do you get rid of the tree of bitterness? You know, it's rooted, it's deep. And you got to get it out by the root. You got to search your heart. You got to pull that thing up. You got to get it out of here. And you know, and it's hard sometimes to get a tree out by its root. But you got to. The tree of bitterness will break a gentle ear and ruin a lapel mic. And who is cleaning the church this week, by the way? I am so sorry. I got this, okay? I don't want to ruin business spring up. You guys that clean, they're such a great job, and I just made a real big mess there. But you got to get rid of that. And so how do you get from bitterness to betterness? I mean, when you go through a relationship, when you go through a divorce, I mean, that's very, very hard thing to go through. When somebody just spreads a lie about you, and you walk down a street and you hear what somebody said about you that just wasn't true, how do you deal with that? And so I want to close out and look at a few applications from a man in the Bible who I believe was just done wrong worse than anybody and did not deserve it. And this man is a character in the Bible that I can find nothing negative about him. He just did everything right. I just don't see any example in the Bible where he did anything wrong, but he was completely wronged. And that character, and you probably know who I'm talking about, it's the Old Testament, it's Joseph. Joseph. So let's look at a couple principles of Joseph. How do we get from bitter to better? And you know, Joseph, he was betrayed by his brother. He was betrayed. He was sold into slavery. He was working for a man, and he was lied. The man's wife came on to him and tried to seduce him, and he would not have anything, and she lied about him. And then he got thrown into jail for it. He was falsely accused. And then when he got in jail, he had one friend, and he helped this friend out, helped him get out of jail and said, hey, help me out. Then he was forgotten about by that friend. That friend didn't help him out, didn't return the favor. And he goes through this situation for 13 years. 13 years. When it started out, he was 17. A lot of people would think those years from 17 to 30 is the prime of your life. They would say, I mean, I don't know what you think, what your best years were. But, I mean, man, when I was 17 to 30, I felt pretty good. You know, I really did. I feel. How's it feel, Brother Tyler? But I, you know, I did. Man, I felt good. And, you know, and then now that I'm over 40, I don't feel that good anymore. But, you know, but he spent those years in a prison for something he didn't do, and he didn't really deserve to be there. And after, you know, after those 13 years, he gets out of prison. And there's the first words out of his mouth is in Genesis 41, 51 and 52. The Bible says, and Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. So that's one thing. God gave Joseph, he didn't bring all this stuff. He said, God made me forget all this. He made me forget it. He made me forget it. And then we look over here in verse number 52, it says, and the name of the second he called Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. He said, you know what? This is the guy that gets it. He understands to just bloom where you're planted. I mean, no matter what happened and whatever lot falls upon him, and maybe you feel like in your life you've got a raw deck of cards right now. Joseph had a raw deck of cards, but he just took it in the right way. He took it in the right spirit, and he was able to go forward. And that's the key. If you're going to move from bitter to better, you must move forward. Don't get hung up on this thing that happened to you, and things will happen to you, and lots of things are going to happen to you in your life that are not right, and it is not fair, but you cannot get hung up on that thing. You must move forward. Amen. You got to move forward. You must look forward and not behind. When you're driving down the road and you've got your car window and you've got a front windshield is huge, and you got the rear view mirror is small, right? That's the small part that's looking behind you. The what's out in front, that's the big part. And that's what you got. Don't just spend your whole life looking at the little rearview mirror. You got the whole window. Amen. Focus on the window. It's all out in front of you, and go forward. And so the past cannot define your life. God saved you, and he saved you out of that. He saved you for a purpose. Get on the mission that God has put you on and find out what that is. And some of us are still bitter because we let it play in our mind, and we keep looking in the rearview mirror. And every morning we get up and we just focus on the rearview mirror. We have no regard for what God has given us, a new day, and we focus on that rearview mirror, and we just will not move on. We will not go forward. Joseph, he just says, you know what, I'm going to forget about that. And he says, God made me fruitful. He made me fruitful. And God will help you move forward. He'll help you go on. You can't. Some people are just going to be difficult, okay? They just are. I'm sorry. I wish they weren't, but they are. But just come over here. Come over here to Tree of Grace and go forward. And then the next thing we look here, that we see that Joseph, he was able to release the offender. And so this is a passage in Genesis 45 where after all these years, and he got wrongly accused, he saw his brothers for the first time. Now, what would you do? What would you do? Not only you saw your brothers, but you're in a place of power, not in the place, just a place of power, but man, you could put some serious hurt on these guys. You're in the most powerful position in the most powerful empire in the world. And you're in control now. What would you do? And you saw your brothers. What's he going to say? I mean, how you like me now? You know what you did to me? You know that you ruined my life? You know I've been in prison for 13 years because of you and your lies? You took my best years from me? And now you're a little hungry. Oh, I feel so bad for you. Yeah. There's some real good food in the Egyptian jail. And you're going to be there for a long time. While you think about what's he going to say? You know, that's not what he says. When he sees them, he released them. He released them. Now, that's the person that had the grace of God on his life. you're over here on this street, there's no way you can do that. Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. He just wept. He just broke down. He's glad to see his brothers. And he's going to take care of them. He let it go. Great message we heard a while back, a few weeks ago, Brother Bruce Fry. Remember that? And he said, you just got to let it go. You know, let it go. Whose face do you see right now? Whose face? Who do you just need to let go right now? Just let it go. Release it. Let it go. And, Colossians 3:13, the Bible says, "As Christ hath forgiven you, so also do ye." Okay, that's what we got to do. That's what we got to do. Until you release the offender, you cannot move on. You know, when people do us wrong, what does the Bible say about that? The Bible says that vengeance is mine; I will repay, saith the Lord. Okay, is the Bible true or is it not? The Bible is true. So who does vengeance belong to? It belongs to God. It doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to you. Amen. And that's God will deal with that in his time. And he promised that he will repay. All right? He will take care of it. And so we must learn to let go. And then the third thing we learn, and I love this, is we just learn to accept that, you know, God allows things in our life. And accept that it's God's plan. In verse number 5 of chapter 45, listen to this. He's talking to his brothers. He says, "Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither." This blows my mind that he could respond to his brothers like this. He says, "For God did send me before you to preserve life." Joseph had the wisdom to see God's hand in this. Do you have the wisdom to see God's hand in difficult times in your life? Honestly, sometimes I don't. I know farther along I'll understand. I'll know all about it. But Joseph, he had enough time underneath the grace tree. He had the wisdom of God upon his life. He had the humility, and he had this that integrity. And he saw God's hand in this. And just you see, this wasn't you. This is just God. God was at work here. God sent me before, you know. And you know who sent Joseph to Egypt? Who sent Joseph to prison? Who orchestrated all this for him to be lied about? And he says, "No, it's not you. It's God." Let's look in verse number 8. It says, "So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. He hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt." He didn't say, "Oh, you know, you guys did me wrong, but hey, I've got this great personality, and it doesn't matter because I work people in the jail, and I work my way up through the ranks of Egypt, and look at me now. Look what I've done. Look what I did. You can't keep me down." No, he gives all glory to God. He said, "God put me here. God put me here." And so accept that it was God's plan. And then the last thing you need to do to move from bitterness to bitterness, or bitterness to bitterness, is to learn to just to bless those. Bless those that have hurt you. And in verse number 21 of Genesis chapter 50, it says, "Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. And they set him up to have the 13 years of his life spent in a rough way, away from home, away from family. And he turns around and treats them like this. I tell you, the Romans talks about when you do that, you heap coals of fire on somebody's head. And you learn how to just be nice to people. I can remember my brother-in-law. He's a good man. And let's redact that from the recording. But he is a good man, and he bought my nephews a basketball goal. It was one of those nice ones, brother. It was a Gorilla Glass, like that you bolt to the ground, and it's got the adjustable breakaway rim. I mean, nice. I mean, they're high dollar. And I was over there and helping him dig it out. We dug the hole. We got the concrete in. We set it up. And, man, I was there the day where the concrete was set. All we had was bolted in. We bolted the pole in there. We hung the goal and just had it out there and ready to play ball. And there was this guy that lived next door, and he was a single man. And the guy, I don't know what his deal was, but he come over there, and he's like, hey. And my brother's like, hey, how you doing? He's like, you know, what are you doing? He's like, oh, we're getting ready to play some basketball. He's like, well, what are you going to do when the ball rolls over here in my yard? And we were just like, I mean, everybody in the room's like, what? You know, everybody who grew up in a neighborhood, you just well, my boy will go over there and get it, I guess. He's like, well, that's my yard. And we were just like, I mean, my nephews were just deflated, and they were just like, and he's like, I don't want that ball in my yard, you know. And so my brother-in-law just said, okay, we'll take it down. And he did. He took the goal down. And my nephews were like, man, why is that guy being so mean? And you know, they lived there for a couple more years. And then my brother-in-law was just nice to that man. He was not a real good neighbor, but he was just nice to him. And you know, I never forgot that. He just nice to him, and took it down and just took it, you know. And then they moved, and the next place they got to go to, God led them to a different place, and they had just an unbelievable place to play basketball. My nephews, they're good kids. They really are. I think God used that in their life. They're just good. They're just good kids, and they're unbelievable basketball players. They really are. They're talented. But you just learn to you gotta learn to, you know, to move forward. You gotta learn to release an offender. You just accept that it's God's plan, and you bless those. You bless. And Joseph, he turned around. And Joseph was in a position where he could have done whatever he wanted, but he didn't. And he was just kind. He was kind to them. And you learn to bless them that hurt you. And, you know, does that tree look good to you? No. It's hard, though, sometimes not to go to that tree. Don't go to it. Go over to this tree. Go to this tree. This is what is a child of God. You want to look like this tree in your life. You want to have this type of testimony. You want to have this type of spirit about you, okay? And this is going to make a difference. It's going to make a difference in your life. It's going to make a difference in your family. It's going to make a difference in your children. It's going to make a difference where you work. It's going to make a difference in this church. This church will impact this community. God will bless this place when we learn to do this and we learn to follow peace with all men and holiness. Without no man will see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God. I want to encourage you with those truths here tonight. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes.